In 2012, there were 39 workplace deaths reported in Manitoba and more than 30,000 workplace injuries. April 28th was the National Day of Mourning for workers killed or injured on the job. And last week, the Manitoba Federation of Labour held a candlelight vigil to commemorate Manitobans who have lost their lives or become disabled while earning a living. Kevin Rebeck is the president of the Manitoba Federation of Labour, and he joins me now in the studio. Welcome, Kevin.
Thanks for having me.
So there have been horrific industrial accidents in the last month. I'm thinking of what happened in Waco, Texas at the fertilizer plant and also in Bangladesh, which we're talking about later in the program. But as mentioned earlier, here in Manitoba, we had 39 workers killed last year as a result of their jobs and more than 30,000 injured, which seems like a lot to me. Are there workplaces or types of works which is more dangerous? Is there a trend with these numbers?
Sure. Yeah, these numbers are, they're staggering numbers when you look at them on an annual basis. And it's too bad we don't talk about it more because they're serious issues. They're issues you'd associate of hearing those numbers of a natural disaster and be shocked and stunned and moved into action. There are some industries that there are more injuries than others. There's a lot of injuries in the healthcare area. A lot of that's due to short staffing and not having adequate support levels. And people are there taking care of our community's loved ones and wanting to do a good job for them and sometimes end up being injured. And a lot are in the jobs you'd imagine are high risk in the construction industry and manufacturing. There's a lot more chance of a serious injury taking place if there's not adequate safeguards in place.
And these numbers are reported numbers, which I imagine are lower than the actual numbers, especially of injuries. What workers or what types of workers or jobs do you think they're not reporting?
Sure. So these are numbers that are taken from the Workers' Compensation Board. So there are folks who are not covered by WCB at all, so those numbers wouldn't be factored in here. And sadly today, there's still a lot of employers out there or workers who don't report their claims to the Workers' Compensation Board for a variety of reasons. Some have a culture that they don't do that, and you know the boss says, oh, you know, don't report your injury and I'll just keep paying you. And that may seem fine in theory, but that means that hazard never got fixed, and that puts someone else at risk as well. It also means we aren't getting the true picture of health and safety and what's being done and the damage that's being done out there in the community.
I wanted to talk just a bit more about that. And earlier this year, the province of Manitoba released a report, the Fair Compensation Review. And the report talked about the things you're talking about incentives or pressure for workers not to report their injuries by employers, what's often called claims suppression. How is this able to happen for employers?
Well, it is against the law for it to be happening, but sadly, a lot of, well, I won't say a lot, there are employers who have participated. A lot of employers are very good and make sure that they follow the rules, but there are those employers who don't. Some of them do it overtly. They outright tell people that that they lie to them about not being covered by WCB, or they tell them not to report a claim, or they say they'll pay them. Others do it in a bit more what appears to be a benign way. They say, you know, if there are no reported injuries for the month of January, then on January 31st, pizza lunch for everyone. So on January 28th, I fall down and hurt myself. It's not a broken bone. It's not life-threatening. And even my coworkers are looking at me like, Kevin, are you going to report that? So it creates this environment that people don't report incidents and accidents as they occur. And it sets people up for the hazard that caused me to fall may cause someone a more serious injury down the road.
The provincial report was released on the 100th anniversary of the release of the 1913 Royal Commission report, which is called the Meredith Report. What's the political significance of this date and of that report?
Well, it's an important date for labor, certainly sees it as one. The Meredith Principles, or the report that came out way back then, really established WCB as we know it. And what it basically said was, well, maybe I'll just back up a moment. Before then, if I were on the job and got injured, it was up to me to get a lawyer, to sue the company, put in a suit, pay my lawyer fees. This would go on for 5, 6, 7 years, perhaps. And then I may or may not win a court case, and it may be for a millions of dollars settlement. they could bankrupt a company potentially as well, and you know, a lot of that would be gone in lawyer fees. So it wasn't good for the worker who didn't get their health looked after or and didn't have the money up front to deal with it. And it wasn't good for employers when things came to a head as well. Sometimes it was huge costs when things would be lost. So the Meredith principles set up that when people were injured at work, that they would continue to get fair compensation and have their expenses and health looked after and their salary, and that employers would pay for that service, kind of like an insurance, and that they wouldn't be subject to being sued in those instances either. So it protects employers and it protected workers. And sadly, when we have things like claim suppression, it tilts everything in favor of the employer, which was a real problem that we had identified and we're calling for a review. An independent review had taken place and confirmed that this does indeed happen and that things are being tipped into the employer's favor in this instance at the expense of workers. And a number of suggestions were put forward to try and restore some balance to a system.
And part of the problem for employers is there is an incentive for them to suppress their claims because their premiums, what they pay in workers' compensation, is based on how many injuries they have. But I imagine you would want premiums based on incidents, that if you have an employer that does have a lot of accidents, you would want them to pay more into the system. So what would you recommend to balance that?
Sure. Well, we recommend, we don't like the experience rating system at all. And I think the reviewer came up with a solution. Our solution, we said, was what the employer should actually be paying for is to make sure that the workplace is safe and no one gets hurt later. They should be investing in preventative measures. But if an employer does that or not, the current system doesn't recognize it or reward it or penalize it. It ignores it. So the independent reviewer came up with a system that says, look, we'll maintain some parts of the experience rating system. We'll do some of it by sector. And for longer term things, we'll keep that applying to a single employer. But in addition to that, we should create some incentives for doing preventative work and that we should invest in reward when an employer makes the workplace safer. What a novel idea, you know, long overdue and one that I'm glad was recommended and I'm hopeful gets implemented.
On the enforcement side, what would you like to see the provincial or the federal government do more of?
Well, I think on the enforcement side, right now, the WCB system is set up to do a lot of enforcement and investigation of when a worker might be abusing the system. And that happens. I'm not trying to say that workers don't. It does. But they've had no investigation of when employers abuse the system. And they've been pushed on that. And when they have, they've actually found they have. There's a mechanism to fine an employer a big $450 if they abuse the system. And even when they found out that they didn't fine them. So we think there needs to be some balance to that system again, that we need to go after anyone who's abusing the system, whether they're workers or employers, need to be followed up on. We also need more investigation and enforcement on the health and safety side of things. And that means that workplaces need to be inspected and looked at on a regular basis, and they can't go decades without being looked at. We see the results internationally of what happens, and it's catastrophic.
I wanted to ask you finally about workers' right to refuse unsafe work. And we had the case last week with prison guards in Alberta who walked off the job because of what they saw as occupational health and safety concerns in the Edmonton Remand Centre. This was portrayed by the provincial government and most media as an illegal strike and not really addressing the safety concerns. How are unions, and just to mention, the union may be fined as well and may face a court case on this. Are unions able to support workers who do want to refuse unsafe work?
Yeah, we do our best to do what education and training we have. We are strengthening, and a recent announcement by the provincial government in Manitoba is strengthening the right to refuse here in Manitoba. Under the current system, if I exercise my right to refuse unsafe work, they can wait till the next person comes in that works the shift after me and say, hey, I'd like you to go do this. And they don't have to tell them that I refused it, why, or if they've done anything about it currently. So the new law will require them to say, Kevin's refused it, here's what, on the basis of why, and here's what we've done about it before, and they have the right to refuse it. So that's good. Having a union gives you another person that can protect you and provide a voice and raise the issue and make improvements for you to help ensure you have a safe workplace.
Well, thank you, Kevin, for coming in today.
Thanks very much. Pleasure to be here.
I've been speaking with Kevin Rebeck of the Manitoba Federation of Labour, and there is more information on their website on workplace health and safety issues, and that's at mfl.mb.ca. You're listening to Mud & Water on CKUW 95.9 FM.